The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Well, I can't guarantee how much common sense you'll get today or this week because Doc's not here.
Well, let's be honest. There's really never much common sense,
well,
even when Doc's here.
Yeah.
Well, we need to fix that opening, probably.
There's a collision of something.
A collusion.
I just don't know. It's a collision of something. Anyway, it's at the Blaze, Brad here, and then there's Cal 79 over there, and the real Chris Cruz, as opposed to the fake Chris Cruz who gets everyone in trouble.
He changed it.
Did he?
He did.
He changed to something else.
Because he's getting you in trouble?
No. I guess it was time for stop trolling me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still get the lawn. I've got Cal's lawn and Cal's lawnmower. I still tweet it.
By the way, I saw the picture of your lawn. It looks really nice.
Which one? The
really nice one. It's not your lawn. I mean, it looks like somebody's golf course in their front yard.
You know, I'm a little jealous, but I try, you know.
You're providing a public service, though. You make the rest of us feel good about our lawn. That's the thing. Exactly. So, man, it was hard coming back. Not as hard as it was coming back from Hawaii. Was that in October? That was hard. I almost didn't.
So in the last year, you've been to Hawaii and now Mexico? Uh-huh.
I've been out of the country more often or more times in the past year than I think I've ever been.
Is there something to tell us? Are you dying? Are you
No.
Just bored?
Running drugs. I mean, you got to do something to make a living.
Can't remember the last time I went on vacation.
Right?
Hawaii, well, Mexico. Wow.
Well, see, it's
wasn't that Colombia?
What you need, yes. Well, but I wasn't going to tell anybody about that. What you need to do is find a very wealthy woman and marry her.
Oh, a sugar mama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that what?
That's what I did.
Okay.
Well, and when you do that, you gotta, you know, you pay in other ways. Are you paying in the other ways?
We always pay. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Nothing is free, ever.
You
nothing
pay in the ways of satisfaction.
Right.
I hope you're satisfying.
Oh yeah.
All right,
I mow the lawn and, you know,
and clean the pool.
Turn the head to yep. She makes me wear that stupid thong though when I play. You remember, you know, guys don't remember, we used to call thongs the stuff you wore on your feet.
Yes.
Oh yeah, the
what happened?
Sandals.
When did that get flipped?
When did it become banana hammock? I don't know.
Well yeah, I mean
yeah.
That used to be, you used to wear thongs on your feet and then what was it?
Banana hammock.
Just, yeah. But I mean they would just call them
Speedos.
Speedos.
Yeah, yeah. And then something somewhere along the line changed. Everything flipped around. Now we wear thongs. Imagine being that whole waking up from a coma in 20. Wait a minute, you're wearing your thongs where?
Yeah.
I used to wear them on my feet. But Mexico was absolutely wonderful.
How many things did you lick?
And just to clarify, I love that rule. If you lick it, it's yours.
Yeah, it's a fascinating rule.
And it's
really one that we should all go by.
That's the first time I've heard of this rule.
What?
You lick it, it's yours.
Don't you remember that as a kid? You get, you know, so you pick it up, and look, it's mine. Because you lick
or
it.
Or if you don't, or if you want you to have the last slice of pizza,
right.
You lick it.
Right. Because no one's going to want that slice of pizza
except
after you've
me.
Licked it. Except for the person
Chris.
Who licked it, or maybe Chris. I mean, he still may, even if you licked a piece of pizza, Chris still may take. I mean, that's.
I think I did that in like high school.
But it still works. It still works today.
It still applies. Okay.
So when I saw Chris remind me of that rule on Twitter, I tweeted the picture of the, what was it, coate?
Yeah,
coate.
What's a coate?
It's the cutest little, it looks like a cross between a cat and a raccoon. I mean, they're just, and they're adorable looking.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, apparently, they are gremlins. It says it because a
wet?
Big sign, yeah. This big sign that said, which if you lick them, obviously saliva would get. But it says, do not pet. They're not pets.
The coates.
The coates are not pets.
Do they come up to you or anything?
I never saw one. I know, only on the picture. And it was very strange. And I just thought the reason they had to put those signs up and saying, do not touch the coate. They're not a pet. Is
oh,
because
cute.
See? Just, see how cute
I
those are?
Googled it up,
I
yeah.
mean, you want when you see one of those, why wouldn't you want to walk up and pet it?
Or
because they're cute.
Yeah.
Especially the baby ones.
Yeah. But apparently, you know, they will eat your face. And that's not a good thing.
So it is like a gremlin, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but the mogwai, before it becomes
mogwai,
a gremlin.
Yeah. Yeah, the mogwai.
The cute little mogwais.
And that's...
Once you feed them after
midnight
or get them wet,
right?
It turns into a coate.
Yeah.
A gremlin.
And those, apparently, they're running all around
the resort.
That was at the... which would not Chichen Itza, Tulum.
Tulum, okay.
Tulum, which is absolutely.
So you went because I told you to go there.
Yes, you did.
You're welcome.
That was thank you. And you also recommended Xel-Há. Which we got to get this whole X being a sh
yeah.
thing in.
So it's a Mexican thing.
But why?
Or
so
a
why
Mayan
isn't it?
Thing.
Why isn't it Mexico?
Because I think original Mayan.
Oh.
Is that and then. Average everyday Spanish, Mexican Spanish.
Don't look at me. Looking the wrong person. Don't look at me.
What, Puerto Rico's not in Mexico?
No.
I thought Puerto Rico was in Mexico.
It's no. pretty, I think it's close. it's geographically close. But so, yeah, so apparently the Mayans, it was fascinating going and seeing the structures and uh-huh. thinking these things, some of them are what, 900 BC? Or I mean, they're just
really old.
And they're still standing today. And you look at them and you think, man, somebody thousands of years ago stacked these rocks and put the mortar in. And
you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with my dad over the. So long story short, I'm from Egypt, obviously, where we have the pyramids of Giza. Mm-hmm. My dad is a.
Those were built some time ago.
Yeah, some time ago, too.
By aliens.
And right. My dad, he's a like kind of like a wholesale travel agent. His thing is that. He takes like big groups like museums and companies and they do these big trips and they go to Egypt and they, so one of them is an author, this guy who does a lot of research and his name is Robert Bouval, if you want to look him up. And he, not Duval, the actor, Bouval right. with a B.
That's your right. dad?
Robert Bouval? No, that's the guy he works with.
Oh, okay.
And this guy, he has a history of books and he does all this research of how his whole theory is that aliens came to Earth mm-hmm. and helped these ancient civilizations like the Egyptians, mm-hmm. the Mayans, blah, 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 to help, mm-hmm. to give them the technology to build these things because it's,
right.
basically no possible way using the, you know, the tools of the time that these people could have done what they did.
They
I mean,
could have drugged those rocks up that
yeah,
side. Yeah.
Just stacked them. I mean, the rocks are human and the Chichen Itza pyramid is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing compared to the Giza pyramid, which is right. gargantuan.
Right.
But still it's an amazing feat. And you know, they have the whole thing with the spring and winter solstice when the sun mm-hmm. hits at a specific point,
yep.
it lights up this whole thing and it becomes this, it's like mathematically impossible to do it.
Right.
By freehand, basically. And yeah. this is what they did. They yeah. did it, you know, with their own tools and with the, you know, stars.
No compass.
It's completely over my head, you know.
Didn't have a compass.
So I had this argument with my dad, and he's telling me, he's how like, you're telling me there's not 1% possibility of all the planets in the universe that there's some other life out there. And I was like, no, not buying it.
See, I already like your dad because I agree with him.
He goes into this whole thing, and I'm like, no. I don't think so.
So you don't think there's a chance that there's something else out there that could have come down? And
I mean, it's I don't know. I'm a bit. It sounds like archaic what I'm about to say.
All right.
But I'm a bit more. I feel like that is almost the proof of God to me is that there are so many planets out there.
Right.
So many, you know, millions, billions mm-hmm. of galaxies, and the fact that maybe just one of them.
You just said maybe.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not. Maybe
you said so. You left the door
okay.
open. Is
sorry,
what you
no.
did.
I'm rewording.
So there's just one. So you're going to go hardcore and say there's only one planet.
The fact that it's only one planet among millions with
billions.
Intelligent life on it.
Right.
To me,
where's the intelligent life?
Right. The we're aren't we are we're okay. Huh. Semi-intelligent life. Yeah. To me, almost proves the fact that there is a God out there because of this, the chances of that, you know? Obviously, with the number of planets out there, there's got to be. You think,
right?
How just by sheer numbers. And I think they say that mathematically,
so you're leaving the door
open. Impossible.
So it's possible that there's another planet out there.
I'm saying my personal belief is that I don't believe in aliens, but by sheer numbers, the average person would say, how could you not? For me, it's almost like that's the existence of God, that there is only one of billions.
So you're saying God's a one-trick pony, he can only get it right once?
Not that he only get it right once, that it's so rare, intelligent life.
Right. So again, you bring up this intelligent life thing. There's life here.
Okay, whatever we're going to call it. We'll call it.
All right.
See, anyway, we're off on a rant here. But
and that's just it. When I was there, and I've heard the theory about the
pyramids and all that,
and the fact
that I've seen these things. They're amazing. I mean, it's awe-inspiring.
Yeah. How did they do that with ropes and donkeys?
Well, there's lots of theories, but there's
a lot of
Israeli
people.
Jews. Well, yeah, you had those too.
Back then, they were called Jews, though. The Jews.
Right. They get a lot of work done in the day, but I don't know if it's that much. I don't know. I think there is.
It is a phenomenal feat.
Well, and what was it? Remember the guy on the History Channel with the hair?
Yeah, he's always like aliens,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
The meme guy. Yeah.
Well, I've watched a lot of that stuff on there, and some of it. I mean, one of the theories is that the pyramids were for electricity. That mm-hmm. they transmitted wireless electricity.
Okay.
How smart would that be? I mean, that's brilliant.
Well, didn't Tesla, because I heard Glenn talk about this a lot.
Well, Tesla invented Wi-Fi. Yeah,
yeah, Tesla was already mm-hmm. ahead of his time, where he already invented a cell phone or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That goes back to the theory of the carburetor that was invented that would get limitless, you know, like 100 miles a gallon. And then, you know, like one of the oil companies bought it and stuck it on a shelf. So that people obviously couldn't use it,
right?
So that they could keep the price of oil up. So that could go down the conspiracy.
You jump down that rabbit hole, you'll be forever, like, you know, conspiracies and
right.
But you'll never get any sleep.
But back to the mines and all of them and the pyramids and this and Chichen Itza and Tulum. When you look at those structures and you think about the amazing ways that they built this, and then these are the same people that when they take their warriors, they'd have the battles. And they would take their best warriors and what?
Cut his head off.
Where does that make any
I remember
sense?
That when I went through teaching the CS, so Chris is looking at us like crazy. So apparently, like, they had this once a year thing where they would gather all their tribes, I guess, and then they mm-hmm. get their most strongest warriors, and they would play this game.
Hunger Games.
It wasn't like a Hunger Games. It was an actual a sport, there would be two teams. And they would play with a ball, and they'd have to get the ball through this concrete ring, which was almost impossible.
Oh, yeah, it's like the movie El Dorado, the cartoon movie. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. That, yeah.
And it's a 9-pound ball,
to get through this ring that's, so small. And you couldn't use your hands or feet. You had to bounce it off a mm-hmm. shoulder or a knee or a chest and get the ball through this. And the guy who did once you did that, you win. Like, whoever did that one time, because it was almost impossible, would win. And the MVP, the guy who did it, would be sacrificed. And it was, this great honor. And I didn't get that.
I just don't understand. Because when it's time for battle,
you want that guy. That
you want the guy.
To the 9-pound ball to a 2-inch hole. Yeah.
That's so these are the same people that figured out how to make these incredible structures.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's a disconnect there.
And there's a lot of technology that came out of the Mayan civilization and the ancient mm-hmm. Egyptians. And you wonder how these guys pulled this stuff off.
See, I think we've got you going
aliens,
down.
Dude.
I think we've got you going.
But there's
down
no
that road.
Proof. There's no. I mean, show me proof of aliens.
If you had proof, you wouldn't need faith.
Hey, blind faith.
See.
But everybody's willing to believe of aliens without any proof. It's the same thing when they won't believe in God. And show me the proof.
Well, that's just it. If you had proof, you wouldn't need faith. And that's what it's all about, is faith. Faith in the possible.
Aliens, dude.
Exactly. Continue down this road here in just a second as the Morning Blaze continues.
You're waking up to the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Yeah, Doc is probably sleeping in somewhere this morning.
Lazy bastard.
Yeah, have we heard from him?
Seriously.
Nope. Have you? He's been tweeting you?
God.
Yeah, well.
Is he texting and tweeting?
In theory, he's on vacation. In theory. So it's Brad Staggs at The Blaze, Brad at Cal 79 at The Real Chris Cruz. And if you're going to tweet us, use the hashtag What I Learned Today. As you already know, this one, Cycle? What'd she say? Cycle. It's amazing what 2,500 years can do for trial and error. P.S. Had Jews built the Giza pyramids, it'd have been a deli. Is that racially insensitive?
I don't know, but it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
And we like to think if it's funny, it's true.
Yeah,
or no, it's not offensive if it's funny.
Right.
Or if it's not offensive, it's true. I forget
if
the rules.
It's not offensive if
it's
true.
Wow. Doc has gone one day. You already forgot the rules.
I already forgot the rules.
Cal, and by the way, Cal's not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not supposed to be here today.
And you came in just because...
I will take that as an offense.
Why would I take it as an offense?
Because he believes that he needs you to run a show.
Not believe. I just want to be supportive.
Right. And you're very sweet for doing that.
And
I will never forget that.
And Doc guilted me into it.
Right. Yeah.
Why are you supposed to be off today?
My dad's in town.
Whoa. Yeah. The Muslims in? I thought we had a ban.
How did he get in the country?
He's a citizen.
Oh. Wow.
They're allowing that now? He's one of them guys.
Holy crap, I leave for a week.
This was a long time ago, right? This was not overnight.
He's one of them guys that got his citizenship the legal way, believe it or not. And with me, myself, and my, that's
right.
The three of us.
Right.
My parents and I, we all got that a while ago. So yeah, they let him in the country. So I haven't seen him in about 2 years. So he came down to visit me for the weekend. And then he's heading back. So I was going to take today off. He came in on Friday night, so we spent the weekend with him. He's leaving today. I was going to take the day off today.
Well, you should have. You should have spent
time. I'm going to leave right after the show. I just came to be supportive.
Very nice.
And Doc guilty.
Is he still? Yeah, Doc guilty. Your dad's probably still asleep then, right?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Well, say he doesn't technically know that you're gone.
Yeah, no.
All right. That's good.
I'll be there when he wakes up. I'll get him back.
That's creepy.
I did bring in some gifts from Mexico.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I brought in some. And now apparently there is no
embargo?
There's no limit.
Limit?
Yeah, I guess you can do this. I think you always could with Cuban
cigars. Yeah, you could always bring them, yes.
But you had to bring. Yeah. Oh, you know what they would do? They would take the bands off.
Yes.
Oh, and the Cuban.
Yeah, the Cuban band. And I still.
We got stogies here.
Yeah, these are.
Cigars.
For Mexico.
Cuban cigars.
Cuba. From Havana, Cuba.
From
although
Cuba.
They misspelled it, they spelled it Habana.
That's how you spell Habana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you say it in Cuban.
Yeah. Right.
Habana.
You guys don't have spell down there.
No, we don't.
It's H-A-V.
I have a question. Puerto Rico, obviously, speaks Spanish. Puerto Rico. Yeah. Is it different? Because I don't speak Spanish. So. They speak Spanish, Puerto Rico and Colombia. I mean, yeah. South America.
It's like
Mexico. Is it like a different dialect?
Yeah. Doc asked me the same thing when I was taking him to the airport.
It's still Spanish, right?
It's still Spanish. It's like you guys talking to the British people.
Oh, it's more formal?
Yeah.
So you guys are kind of like.
The ghetto.
I was going to say, you're ghetto?
Yeah.
So it's
Puerto Rico is a ghetto.
Estamos cambiando a un formato de toda la música española.
I didn't know you speak Chinese, Brad.
See?
Wow. Yeah.
Fluent Chinese.
Puerto Rico is the ghetto of Spanish. Then? Something about food.
What do you mean something about food? You didn't get understand?
Estamos cambiando.
We're changing.
A un formato de toda la música española.
Oh, the music, Spanish music format?
Yes.
Why are you changing?
We are changing to an all music. Spanish music format.
Oh, okay.
Surprise, everybody.
Hola y buenos días.
Otro nuevo punto cinco.
El fuego en el mañana.
You're going to need this.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico is the 51st state.
I keep hearing
they voted yesterday.
We said yes.
97% of the voters said they wanted to be a state. However, the bad news is only 23% of the 23% of the population showed up to vote.
Oh, and I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you this is why.
All right.
Puerto Rico is not the most accessible island
to get to
voting polls and we're not that organized.
Are you guys still using donkeys and stuff?
We like,
don't
still
cars yet to get around?
We're still trying to figure out how to make the wheel. Our wheel is square.
I've driven in Puerto Rico.
You know what I'm talking about.
It is, and this I was wife number one. Yeah,
carry
wife
the two.
One. Yeah, see, fractional. Yeah, wife number one. She swore, because we drove up to some city in the mountains mm-hmm. to see some festival or something, mm-hmm. and she said to me, if you get me through this alive, I'll never criticize your driving ever. No, it was more, if you get me through this alive, I'll never criticize your driving again,
good God.
My pretty. And, of course, I got her through it alive,
which was
a mistake, but...
Usually, like when you're going up to El Junque or Rio Grande or something like that.
Could you speak English, please? I don't
to know the Junquio. What's the Junquio?
Junque. This is a rainforest.
Okay.
It's just a one lane street where you have semis and vehicles.
And burned out cars on the side of the road. Yeah. I mean.
Wait, is that, you said Puerto Rico, right? Because that sounds like downtown Beirut.
I know.
Okay.
It's really
making fun of my country while your country is killing other people that do not believe the same way.
My country's not killing anybody.
See?
Okay.
The other country, maybe.
Okay. We're off to a good start this morning here. So if you're going to tweet us today, it's at the Blaze Brad at Real Chris Cruz.
So we're going to light this up, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to light the cigars up here.
We can't light these up in studio. We're in studio.
I've seen people smoke around here.
You're
going
to set the fire alarms off.
I'm the building manager. I know how to turn them off. Are you kidding?
I guess that's a good thing.
Oh, a great guest coming up here in the next half hour. Thank you for booking him.
Thank you for sending it to me.
This is going to be an amazing interview. Old Jobs coming back. As the Morning Blaze continues.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Cal's here. Chris is here. Keith is going to do headlines for us, right?
Yeah.
At the top of the hour.
We figure he continues to step in.
He can fill my shoes.
Yes. Get him to do some work. He doesn't really do much work around here.
No, he doesn't.
I really don't know what he does around here.
It amazes me.
He does a lot of walking and he doesn't have
a lot of yelling. A lot of yelling.
Sometimes he yells, yeah.
Yeah.
He eats out of this big old bowl. Like, it's you heard of
the giant cereal bowl? Yeah. He eats like a box of cereal in one sitting.
There is that, and his coffee mug is the size of a cat's head. It's huge.
And it is a cat head. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's weirdly enough.
It's a hollowed out strange. Cat head.
Which, by the way, my cat, she's good. Thanks for asking, by the way. She, we had to put her in kitty prison while we were gone, but she did something to her leg.
I wouldn't babysat.
Well, she's weird. She just doesn't
like.
You're
the one
with Chris babysitting your cat.
Because don't
he
you
probably
would have
ate it or something.
I'm best friends with a pussycat doll. Right. I think I can handle that kind of pussycat.
Well, poor Cooper, which, by the way, she's a girl cat but has a boy's name because I'm not real smart when I get her from the pound. But she, I know, right? And they all go, he's such a good boy. It's a girl. Of course, how do you know on a cat anyway?
I know. Well,
it's, I mean, you, they
don't
wear lipstick.
If he's not neutered, right?
Yeah, if he's not neutered, you can know.
Well, yeah. Like the squirrels at the Alamo.
The picture you send out?
Yes.
Did you get
holy
that picture?
Holy cannolis.
Yeah. He put me to shame.
Oh. I'm just, Mommy, that's a boy squirrel. Wow. That's a boy squirrel. Yes. Yes, it is a boy squirrel. But anyway, the cat's fine because she spent a week in kitty jail. So
I'm sure she was pampered.
She's doing much, much, much better. And they do like her there. All right, more tweets here. Let's see.
Everybody's tweeting at me the aliens dude. I love the meme. I don't know who started it, but it's this guy from the History Channel, one of those, you know, alien specials.
Yep.
He's some sort of scientist of some kind. I don't know exactly what his title is, but he's got crazy hair and he's got this look on his face and the meme just says aliens. That's all it says.
I'm telling you,
that's all you need. What else do you need?
Donna tweeted at me, Cal's dad works with this guy. Picture the aliens guy.
What is it? TMB listener 002, this week is going to be interesting. Doc Thompson's show may get abducted by listeners and return to the studio. Yeah, but we've actually changed the code on the front door.
I like this one. TMB Saddle Tram. Tweeting out, Cal hates his family so much he pretends to love work.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm dedicated. Mm-hmm. I am dedicated. I come in even when I'm off. Mm-hmm. The last time, I'll admit, my wife drove me crazy enough to come back to work early. I'll admit that one. I was like, this isn't vacation. I'm going back to work. If I'm going to do some work, I might as well get paid for it.
Well, you know, at least you have a place to go.
Yes.
At least you have a place to go.
Yes.
All right. So did everybody see the story about Bernie Sanders?
Which one?
Yeah, I know, right?
He's been on the news this whole weekend.
So President Trump, who, by the way, I have good news about him, from foreigners, even. I'll
foreigners.
Talk about that later, a little bit later. So he's selected Russell Vought, is how you say it, to be the deputy White House budget director, potential budget director.
All right.
This guy's an evangelical Christian.
That's good. That's always good.
Yeah. He responds
he's got a deputy in his title, which means he's really important.
Exactly. Deputy. That's always kind of a weird. It's like an old West thing. But he basically wrote a post on Facebook in response to another post that was his alma mater condemning one of the, I guess, their former students. And he defended her, basically. And he supported evangelical Christians, but kind of dissed Muslims at the same time.
Okay.
And by saying, what was the exact quote that...
he supported Christians by condemning Muslims.
He didn't. Well, he says Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned.
Well, that's not good.
That's what he said. And then so they were asking him, do you believe this statement is Islamophobic? But there's a great article on this online. Caleb Ikarma. Is that Caleb? Are you on the line?
Yeah, he's here.
Caleb.
Yeah, how's it going? Brad?
Great. Thank you for being here today. This is a fascinating story because obviously it's with our political climate and our religious climate in the country now, things are, shall we say, tense,
to say the least.
Yeah. So give us a little more background on the story.
Yeah. So Vought. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Vought. It's like Vought, but Vought.
Deputy budget director, he wrote that blog post on the resurgence, essentially just laying out the basic tenets of evangelical Christianity. You know, it wasn't like anything extreme or any sort of evangelical dystopia, orthodox or anything. It was just people who don't believe in Jesus aren't saved, per standard Christian faith. And in response to that, obviously, Sanders took an offense because it was specifically talking about the context of Islam. And obviously, that's a religion that the people on the left and progressive movement sort of hold very dear to them. So once Sanders saw that specific post, he felt that Russell was more so talking about Islam in terms of Muslims, specifically like the people he was attacking them and not necessarily their faith and saying it was incompatible with the Christian faith.
And the real crux of this is the fact that he wants to apply this litmus test to Christians, but he says when it comes to Muslims, they should be judged by their views and their abilities and not their religion, right?
Right, yeah. So when it came to Ben Carson in 2015, sort of making a similar inference on Muslims and being Muslim views being compatible with the Constitution in terms of the presidency. Carson was opposed to that, and Sanders obviously blasted him and said, "We shouldn't have religious litmus tests. Aren't something this country should be about? It should be about defending all people regardless of their faith." And so, obviously, you see the double standard here, and Sanders makes that clear in this hearing.
So, and this is the basis of, I think I've always said when you have eight people at work and you try to decide where to go to lunch, you can't, you have a hard time coming up with a decision. When you have 320 million people in a country, you have a hard time making up any decision at all. And I think that's always where things like this fall. Okay. So let's dissect this a little bit more. Cal, I mean, when you hear that statement, Muslims do not say different theology. They do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ, his son. They stand condemned.
That's not true, though. I mean, I'm a Muslim, and I was brought up, we didn't reject Jesus. We actually believe in Jesus and love Jesus. He's a big part of the history and everything. We don't believe in Jesus as a deity, as a
G-O-D?
I'm not Christian, so just correct me if I'm wrong. The Trinity, the Father, Holy Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. And it's all the same. It's all part of one thing. Mm-hmm. We believe in a separate God is something and Christ is something. He's a prophet like Moses, like Muhammad. He was a messenger. That's our major distinction there. He was, and he had, you know, he was blessed and he healed people and everything but the part of being a deity. All right, so maybe that's what he means.
So, Caleb, in that, I mean, is Sanders right? Is this guy coming down, you know, too hard on one side or the other? Is Sanders being judgmental? What do you think?
No, I mean, I don't think so at all. I think Sanders is being too judgmental, yes, because in the case of the potential budget director, I think he would have said the exact same thing if you asked him about an Orthodox Jew or someone who believes in the flying spaghetti monster. You know, he would have said belief in Jesus is essential, not just belief in him as a person, but belief in him as the way to salvation is essential for you to get into heaven as, you know, part of Christianity. So I don't think it was something necessarily targeting Islam. I think he would have said the same thing about, you know, any other religious belief that does not believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation.
So this is just another example of the left trying to divide and conquer in that sense.
sorry, excuse me. I think it just shows that Bernie is a political hack. You know, that he, when it comes to Muslims, he's totally opposed to religious litmus tests. Mm-hmm. And even go so far as to condemn them. But when it comes to Christianity, he holds them to a double standard. Or the evangelical Christians, who usually happen to be Republicans, you know, he holds them to a different standard and attacks them. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a devout Muslim who does not believe, you know, that believing in the basic tenets of Islam is the only way to salvation.
You know, it's fascinating because as a kid, I remember growing up, you know, you'd say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible, and all
Whoa.
Of that. I know. It's
under who?
Crazy. Under God. Big
Whoa,
G, God.
G-O-D?
I know.
Oh.
And we have come to a point in time where we've become so divisive, or is it divisive? We've become so divisive that is there any coming back from the precipice that we're standing on? Essentially, I mean, when you have people like Bernie Sanders, you know, doing things like this, keeping the divide out there, is there any hope that we ever come back and become a cohesive society again?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that because I was thinking about Carson's comments too in 2015 and how he was specifically objecting to Sharia, and obviously, I'm not an Islamic scholar, but there are many different strands of Sharia. So I even had issue with Carson sort of opposing religious liberty in that sense. And obviously, and our country has like a long history of both religious freedom and religious discrimination going all the way back, you know, to the founding. So I think religious liberty has to be the one thing we can agree on, you know, that we all believe in different faiths and see different paths to salvation in the afterlife. So if we can't even agree on just letting everyone else be in terms of what they believe in their religion, then I don't know if there's a path back to the cohesive society where we can all get along if we don't even have that underlying value of just tolerance of each other and what we believe. It seems like a pretty basic aspect of freedom to have in place. And without that, I don't know, it seems like everything else might be a moot point.
So basically, we are hopeless as a society. That's
thank you, Caleb. Yeah. And it's Monday morning.
Good morning.
Why can't it just be, I believe in this, you believe in that? Let's go about our day. What?
And by the way, when you said the pledge under God, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean under Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it doesn't. This is
it means under the God that you believe. And if that has to be the spaghetti monster or a guy named Muhammad, mm-hmm. you know, you're good. It's not, I don't know what, when did it happen? And I really want to try to test this out. When was it that God became this Jesus guy? No, it's whatever God you believe in.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And that does not make me like, oh, you're dissing on Jesus. No, I'm being respectful on whatever you believe because Brad believes on the spaghetti monster. I believe in Jesus and you believe in.
And I don't care. What Why does it bother you so much, or why does it affect your day?
Because it's not my God that you believe in.
So what?
Because it's not my God.
There's so much more crap I got to deal with in the day. I don't care whether you believe in the spaghetti monster or Jesus or whatever, man. Just believe whatever. Believe and move on.
Caleb, see what you started this morning? Just thanks to the article. Do you have a website, Caleb?
I do not. I do a lot of freelancing. I'm doing a editorial fellowship over at USA Today right now.
Okay. What's your Twitter handle?
What's your Twitter handle?
You can follow me on Twitter at Caleb E. Karma, CalebEcarma. That's where I post all my hot takes. And,
is that what you call them? Hot takes?
A lot of bad opinions. Yeah, mostly bad opinions, but, you know.
Hot takes. Is that a new thing now? I mean,
I guess it is. Pancakes, not one.
Yeah.
Pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Hot takes. Okay.
That's on the streets right now.
All right. See, I've crossed over.
Well, he's
over.
A millennial, we can trust him.
Yeah, I've caught the old. Caleb, thank you for joining us this morning. We certainly appreciate it, and making sure that our country, we're so screwed.
Yeah, sorry about the bad news. You know, happy Monday. Yeah. Hopefully we can get better.
Have a great rest of the day, Caleb.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I'm going to go home and drink now. That's all I did last week, so I might as well continue doing it this week. Let's talk about Relief Factor, because I'm telling you what one thing I made sure that I put in my suitcase before I left for vacation, Relief Factor.
That's the stuff that got you through the weekend?
Mm-hmm. It indeed is. Relief Factor, I'm telling you, if you are suffering from minor aches and pains, if you have arthritis, I'm telling you, this has worked for me. It worked for back pain for me. It worked when I got my surgery on my foot. If you are in pain, if you're suffering from acute pain, look, try Relief Factor. You can do the number one thing everybody I've ever talked to that has gotten on Relief Factor is, hey, it works. The one thing they've all done is waited. I heard you talk about it, and I waited for like a month. And then I finally called them. 800-500-8384 is the number. You can go to relieffactor.com. You get a 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95. That's less than $20. And I'm telling you, the stuff works. Are you still taking it, Cal?
I am. I give some to my dad, actually. He's got back issues. He's like, my back's bothering him. I'm like, here you go, Dad.
Don't tell nobody.
Thank me later.
And it works. Are you still taking it?
I'm still taking
it. Still helping you sleep at night?
I still sleep with my baby.
And that's just it. As soon as I gave some to Chris, he's like, man, I have to fall asleep.
And guess who? Okay. The pain was not letting me fall asleep.
See?
Wow.
See? And you've got like bionic parts in you.
Yes, I do.
See, I have two screws in me now. Oh. So we have something kind of in common.
He got a couple screws loose. That's
right.
What you're
having. Yeah, good morning. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. Don't forget to tweet us. Use the hashtag WhatILearnedToday at the Blaze Brad, at Cal79, Real Chris Cruz as well. And we will be back as the Morning Blaze continues.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Coming in, use the hashtag what I learned today. We all knew at the Blaze Brad was screwed, but thought that was just working with Doc Thompson. That's JR15. Oh, and Amanda, she's a smart woman.
Did you just put a Glenn?
Maybe. I don't know, did I?
30 seconds left on this last slot. Yeah. You pulled a Glenn.
Yeah. You went a little long there.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It all adds up to 60 minutes in the end. You boys are doing a great job loving the show. Amanda, you are a smart, smart woman.
Yes, you are.
Stay tuned. More in the Morning Blaze coming up.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
We're taking this whole duck thing very serious.
Hey, yeah. I got the Stogies in.
Stogies lighting it up.
These are genuine Havana cigars here, and we got.
I don't know if you want to do that. That might be okay. No, okay. This is in the
billowing.
I'm tweeting a picture of this just when we all get rounded up by HR. I was not responsible.
I'm telling you, as a building manager, I know where the smoke alarms are. I can turn them off. Nothing matters. I can barely see Keith now.
I know. This is supposed to be a smoke-free building.
Yes, but these are Havana cigars, so it's Cuban smoke. Why are you such a hater?
I'm calling OSHA right now.
Why are you such a hater?
I'll be right back.
It's Cuban smoke, though. Mm-hmm. There's a total difference.
Mm-hmm.
Total difference. JR15 just tweeted, you can tell what kind of guys at Cal 79 and at the Blaze Brad are. They went to the Alamo and focused on the squirrel balls. Actually, Cal wasn't there.
I wasn't
there. He just got to see the
I just got the photographic proof of the balls of them on the squirrel. I appreciate that.
GMB Saddle Trench says that Blaze Brad believes in spaghetti minister without meatballs.
Spaghetti monster without meatballs.
Or minister.
He's a heretic. What's to wrong the meatballs.
How many puffs have you had of that thing?
Holy food fight.
You know, is this a cigar or is this... it's like thin at both ends. That's a lot of smoke. You know what? Before we get more trouble, let's get to your headlines.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
I've lost count. Nice maracas, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I like the way you shake them.
I just had them installed.
And those other things that you brought, they look pretty good, too.
Little Gordy things? Thank you.
Thank you. No, I've lost count in the number of deaths related to Islamic-inspired terrorism during the holy month of Ramadan.
Right.
So I've got multiple sources on this. I've got a low end, only 691 deaths. On the high end, 1,076 over the last 16 days.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's worse than traffic deaths in Texas.
Just 14 days left, and then it's complete and total peaceful tranquility until next Ramadan.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, I want to give a shout out to some great guys at the Fort Worth Police Department. We've got officers William Margolis and Christopher Weir. Uh-huh. They found out that there's a World War II veteran, 95-year-old gentleman by the name of Julius Hatley in Fort Worth, who woke up to find his air conditioning, his lone window unit, was not working Saturday morning, and the temperatures in his house were 85 degrees.
Yeesh.
The gentleman, the police officers, decided, you know what? Let's do some good here. Let's go down to the Home Depot and buy this guy, this hero, this American veteran, a window unit. Home Depot found out what they were doing, and they actually donated the $150 unit.
Oh, that's
and
so, very cool.
Absolutely.
That's the winner bell, right?
Yes. This is the winner bell, yeah. This one.
Which one? Oh, that.
No, the other one.
What, that one?
This one?
There you go.
All right, so if I win it, they're very good.
Winner, winner.
Have another puff.
Thank you. I like this.
I think we have too many bells.
Never.
You cannot
have
to. Give me one of these bells.
Which one?
I mean, seriously, I don't want the little tinker bell. Give me the cowbell. More cowbell.
That's it.
Thank you. All right, now. Check this out. I want you guys to look at these pictures. These are, I know it's a visual aid.
Last time you said that, we got in trouble.
Not those pictures.
Look at these pictures. These are two different men.
Bright size
Snoop Dogg.
Of society.
The guy, one of those guys, the guy on the right,
is
innocent.
Two
different guys.
Oh, I thought this was the same.
The guy on the right was put in prison for the last 17 years for an armed robbery he did not commit.
And the guy on the left is the one who did it?
He swore up and down. It was not me. They found out this guy, who looks just like the guy who's been behind bars for 17 years.
Wow.
This guy lived right near where the robbery occurred. There was no DNA evidence, nothing like that. I'll tweet that picture out here as soon as the segment is done.
Right.
And you guys got to see this.
They even have the same hairdo and the same facial hair.
It looks like no kidding. It looks like Snoop Dogg, too.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're all here this morning means that we did not win the Powerball lottery over the weekend.
Yeah, I missed that.
I didn't check my ticket yet, though, so maybe I did.
Save your time. Okay. Unless you were in California purchasing a ticket, which is where the winning number was. Now, how does this work? The jackpot was $447.8 million.
Wow.
Now, the annuity, how does this work? The annuity would work out to be $40 million. The cash option, $24.9
million. Wait a minute, $24.9 million per year?
No. So you get $40 million total if you take roughly $1.3 million a year for 30 years.
How's that work?
Or you just take the cash option at $24.9.
So one-time cash out is 24.
Seriously, I need some help on this because I was in such terrible math lower, I can't even, probably English class apparently as well. But in school, I cannot figure this out.
Wait, what's the jackpot again?
Okay, the jackpot's 447.8.
Right. Well, let's just call it 447.
Okay. So we get a cash option of 24.9 or the annuity of 40 mil.
Is that 10% or 5%?
And the annuity is 40 mil per year.
No. 1.3 million per year for 30 years.
This is George Bush something. Fuzzy math.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
So anyway, the guy... California does not tax lottery winnings. Did you know that? Can you believe that?
I did not know that.
New York, 8.82%. Texas, 0%. So win it here. Right. But I'm just... There's still a gap there because...
That's insanity.
I don't... Someone help me with the math.
Where's the $400 million that you're supposed to be getting?
I tweeted out this chart.
I turned down to 1.3 a year because...
I think I'd do that one.
That's slightly less than what I'm making right now, but I can... You'll
take a pay cut.
I mean, I wouldn't have to work.
I did tweet out this chart at the Blaze, Keith, over the weekend. I still don't understand it. There's a gap there. There's some missing cash. Someone find it.
All right. As soon as we find it.
A Massachusetts woman faces possible felony charges for allegedly allowing her pig to get too fat.
Authorities. Wait. Her pig?
Oh, no. It's better than that. It's her pot-bellied pig. I mean, that's what they are. They're pigs.
They're supposed
to be fat.
They have
pot bellies.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's going to face animal cruelty charges. Megan Caterno of some town I can't pronounce. Had her pot-bellied pig, Maybelle, removed from her care after authorities discovered the pig weighed 196 pounds, roughly double of what she should weigh.
How do you know how much a pig should weigh?
I know.
It's a pig.
Is there a rule on that?
Although I did have a friend who had pot-bellied pigs. Have you ever, played with one? Yeah. They're weird, aren't they? They make that because you expect them to... Yeah. They sound like pigs. But it's weird because you think it's like a dog, but it's got really rough skin.
Can we talk for a second on the people who have... pigs as pets?
Sure.
I think it's
like,
a weird.
What is that?
Yeah, what's wrong with cats?
What's wrong with a cat or a dog? Why do you need a little pig as a pet? Is that, am I just thinking the only one think that's strange?
I think it's a little odd. And everybody I know that has ever had one, they're a little odd.
And then there's a guy with the goats and the llama.
Do you train a pig to use the litter pan?
I was going
to
say, can you housebreak a pig?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can? Yep. Yep.
My sister has one.
How do you keep yourself from killing it and eating it? Isn't bacon really good?
I don't think that there's any rule against it. I think that pretty much, you can.
Because you can't, if the dog wets the floor, you can't eat it. If the pig wets the floor, be like, all right, that's it. I've had enough of you.
You can't.
Into the frying pan you go.
Anybody.
So my sister has a little pig, and she has MS.
And the pig or your sister?
No, my sister.
Okay.
And the pig helps her.
Is it a pot-bellied pig?
Yeah.
How much does it weigh?
How?
I don't know, and I don't know.
Does she live in Massachusetts?
No, she lives in Florida.
Multiple sclerosis, is that... I mean, what's her... She can't bend over, or she can't, bend, her joints? What's the...
How's the pig help?
Yeah, that's my next question.
It helps her. She says it helps her.
It's kind of what's the... I'm having a brain fart. When animal, the animal...
Because you're not supposed to be here
when
today.
The animal helps you...
it's a service.
Security...
Security, the puppies, the things.
There's an emotional thing. Yeah. I mean, is it helping her emotionally?
Probably.
I forget the term.
But so I went home... Only had back home...
Therapy,
yeah.
To visit her, and then I see the pig, this little black pig, and I picked her up... And then my mom is like, "Oh my god, twins!"
Do the rest of the villagers want to eat the pig?
I wanted to eat the pig on Christmas, but
let's move on.
Hold on. Here's what they can do for that pig. If you think maybe the answer is the pig needs more exercise, well, surprise, that's actually not going to help because here's the headline. Too much exercise is bad for your gut. Yay!
I'm in good
Happy
shape.
Happy Monday!
Yeah, I knew it.
Come on. Shake your maracas.
See, now I have an excuse to tell my wife, honey, if I keep working out, I'm going to get rid of my gut, and that's bad.
Right. Yes, dad bods are in.
The research, which comes from Australian sports journal Alimentary Pharmacology and Therapeutics.
Sounds very reputable.
Do you have a subscription to that? shows that intense physiological stress on the... These words are too big! I'm about to move on from this story. It can trigger the leaky gut syndrome. You don't want that. It's a condition in which the gut lining weakens, resulting in the passage of germs and toxins into the bloodstream.
What?
Amen. Amen. We cannot work out, gentlemen.
Can't do it.
It makes your stomach leak?
It's believed that the resultant
leakage... I heard of leakage,
but
not that kind of leakage.
A story with the word leakage. I'm loving this now. of toxic waste is a primary cause of, oh, look at this, multiple sclerosis and chronic fatigue, and has a role to play in many other illnesses. So,
wow.
Putting in hours at the gym,
bad.
Screw
it's
that.
Bad for you.
All right, let's see here. Police in Jackson, Mississippi found a severed head on the front porch. You sent me this.
I hate when that happens.
There was no body.
The best line in that whole story.
What you got?
The cause of death. Listen to the cause of death.
I see it. Okay, you want me to read this?
Yeah.
The cause of death, he said, appeared to be severance.
Yeah. That will do it every time.
Every time. Now.
Right. Got time for one more?
I got time for one more.
Just one more.
Because that guy there was bald, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little concerned. Right. Have you noticed what I shaved my head over the weekend?
Which I didn't. I need
to. Okay, so I'm bald, so I'm a little concerned about Mississippi and police in Mozambique who are warning that bald people are being targeted by superstitious attackers who believe their lack of hair denotes wealth. I can assure you it does not.
Well, you think about it, Lex Luthor, Daddy Warbucks, you know, those guys got money and they're bald.
Mm-hmm. No. Listen to this. Some people in Mozambique mistakenly believe the heads of bald people contain gold, which I can assure you they do not.
Oh, all we got to do is crack open at the Blaze Keith's head.
Why are you sharpening a knife over there, Chris Cruz?
Because it is time. It is time to find out what gold is in Keith's head. We'll find out in a second. We just take a break
back
right
off!
Now. This is The Morning Blaze.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, keep the tweets coming. Use the daily hashtag What I Learned Today. The Steve42 says the missing Powerball money is in Keith's bald head.
Get your knife.
I like that a lot. Let's see here. TMB listener 002, politicians in California just got woke. We can tax lottery winnings? Bills are being written as we tweet. Exact. Yeah, what is up with I did not know that they didn't. Tax lottery winnings in California.
That'll be, that's, is that like the only thing that they don't tax?
Just about. And they're broke. I mean, they're totally broke. What is...
Thomas Schwenker tweeted what I learned today. If you're told you're getting a severance package, run!
That was the... When I saw that story, it was a weird, obviously a horrible, horrible story, but cause of death, severance.
It's a morning blaze. We're allowed to joke around sad things.
We do that.
Oh, Jordan Rick says at the Blaze Brad, make sure you put a towel under the door so it doesn't escape to the hallway. Referring to the Cuban smoke.
Cubano.
Los Cubano.
How do you say that? Cubano. El Cubano smoke.
Los Cubano.
Los Cubanos.
Los is boys.
Right.
And Cubanos.
Los Lobos.
Dum Dum tweeted hashtag what I learned today. Who can I sue for making me fat?
Ooh.
The fork manufacturer. I mean, forks make people. Guns kill people, and forks make people.
Do you
fat.
Blame the fork, or do you blame the pot you cooked it on? Because you have to trace it back.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. I don't know. Yeah. It's a good cigar.
I can tell. Mm. Like,
it's really. Although I'm not a big cigar smoker, but I'm telling you, when you've got the option for a Cuban cigar,
you have to.
You just feel like it. And why can't we deal with Cuba? Well, I mean, I know we can now, sort of. But what was the whole reason we couldn't deal with Cuba at all?
Because they had sanctions on them.
Why?
Because they were communists.
So's China.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply. China's a big power play.
Right.
We make more money with China.
Yeah.
I've never understood why we could not go to Cuba, why we couldn't do anything. You know, couldn't deal. Well, you could go to Cuba. You just had to fly to, and you still do, I guess. Fly to Canada first or Mexico and then go to Cuba.
Wait a minute. Now that it's over, now you can't fly direct?
But you know, I think you still have to.
You can fly direct.
You have to have a work reason or a school reason.
You can't just go visit?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that there are still restrictions in that sense.
My friend was just there.
But he's probably not, under a work thing. Probably or
so we're lying to their government?
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, they put you in that position, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Coming back into this country, let's see, I guess it was immigration.
Customs.
In Dallas. So the government has tried to streamline the process of getting you back into the country for whatever reason. Of course, the usual intent of the government ends up being 180 degrees off. So it says, you know, if you follow the orange signs, if you're a Canadian or U.S. citizen, all you have to do is Scan your passport, answer a few simple questions, and, you know, boom, you're on your
way. What were the questions?
Did you bring any fruits and vegetables? Did you go to a, did you spend any time around livestock?
Oh, yeah.
I said no. I said no.
But you licked those things.
I said, that's a coate. Technically, that's not livestock.
Okay.
More of a cat, raccoon thing. And a couple others. And then it spits out a little piece of paper. And I, the whole idea, I guess, is to get more people through more quickly, but it never works out that way because you have everybody going,
what do you mean by livestock?
Right. Does a cat qualify as livestock or is that just a horse? It's all a horse. But it was everybody just backed up at this one place. And then, of course, you still have to go through the guy who looks at the piece of paper with your picture on.
Which basically make the whole thing pointless.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see things like that, and then you see the common sense stuff in places, and I love this. I just tweeted this sign out that was in Mexico at Tulum, the big cliff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you get next to this cliff,
you will fall.
And there's just a little rope. And a sign that says, don't enter, basically. And
there's no, like, regulation or...
No. And I'm sure if you fall off there and you die...
You are the luck.
You're not... I mean, you can try to sue, but you ain't going to sue anybody. And that's the same way it was in Switzerland. Went there years ago and skied the Schilthorn,
this is a family show. Watch what you're saying.
That's true. It's not 6:30 yet.
Okay.
Here, Central Time. But the thing is, they shot the movie on Her Majesty's Secret Service at this revolving restaurant, and they had these basically same thing, a rope going around the back end, and if you walked, I mean, it was like a 400-foot drop. And all it said was, don't enter. Use caution.
Use caution.
Because you couldn't sue. You could not. If you went back there and you fell, you were going to die, and that was it.
I mean, it's pretty evident.
Yeah.
I don't even think you need the rope, really.
No,
the 400-foot drop would kind of just give it away.
Look down. Do you want to end up down there? Okay, then don't step one more step because you will die.
You will die.
But there's those common sense things that we, for whatever reason, we can't seem to get through our head in this country.
I don't even think so much as about reason. It's money. The more crap you put in the way, the more money they make. I feel like that's the reason.
Well, and usually for every warning sign... It means it's like that. Don't touch the coate.
Yeah.
Somebody touched the coate. That is a new covfefe, by the way.
That is.
Don't touch the coate. But that's every warning sign. And then we've done a lot of work in the tool industry with our website, Tool School. All the tool manufacturers called the legal department, the sales prevention team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you always had to put on the don't touch the lawnmower, don't touch the spinning blade.
In the snowblower.
Right. Yeah. Don't touch the blade with your tongue, that sort of thing. Because somebody somewhere along the line did it.
Yeah, and actually, just a little programming note, when Doc comes back, we're going to have the
Wacky warning labels,
and you should be in for this.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to take part in that.
And it's going to be interesting because, and one of the things he talks about is somebody already did it. That's why there's a label coming for it.
The whole thing with a lawnmower, you know, there's a warning on most lawnmowers. It says, do not, you know, put your fingers under, because people would lift them up and use them as hedge trimmers.
Yep. Actually, by the way, they still do in Puerto Rico.
Well, they actually make a very good hedge trimmer. That's the beauty of it, because they have a nice flat surface. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You just shouldn't. And of course, Cal, you don't have to worry about it because you don't.
This is why I will not be buying a lawnmower.
So yeah.
You just convinced me again not to buy a
lawnmower. Not to buy?
Yeah,
you could
reason number 364 on my list.
You could
end up buying a lawnmower,
losing your fingers trying to mow.
So
you
love your fingers that much?
I do.
Yeah,
that's another reason not to get it.
Right, and by trimming the hedges, I mean, you know, trimming the hedges. I think so. TMB listeners down below too. Just a real quick perusal. Does taking pics of Mexican squirrel nuts count as being around livestock?
Yeah.
Well, there were Mexican squirrels. There were.
I mean, the size of that squirrel.
I did qualify.
I would qualify that under life.
Did you see the new confefe?
We'll talk about that in a second. It's time to take a break. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
I think Doc is still asleep this morning. It's Brad Stags in for Doc. Cal's here. Chris is here. The whole crew is here. Even Chuck is here. Except, you still work here?
They don't even know who
Except
Chuck
for
is.
Doc.
I know. They do now. Chuck holds the place. Chuck's like glue.
He holds this place together.
He's like drywall compound. Yeah.
That's
he's
quite
the drywall compound of the Blaze. Yeah.
You're the drywall compound of my heart, Chuck.
You know, women love it when you say that to them.
I don't know why.
This is a big day in history. This was the day that you just heard Michael Pelka talk about. This was the day of the Reagan speech, tear down this wall.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It was today?
Yeah.
Not just that. Today also is the 1 year anniversary for the Pulse shooting in Orlando.
That's been good grief. That's been 1 year.
It's
ago.
Been a year.
Wow. There was just a story out about a woman who survived that and then was killed in a car accident.
Yes.
Man, talk about when your e-ticket's punched. It's punched.
Yeah, it's like that movie Final Destination.
Uh huh. I love
you
those.
Know, where you cheat death, but it comes back and finds
it
you.
It will come back to you. But by the way, the last one of those is one of the first one and the last one were the best.
Really?
The 3D one.
There's like 14 of them.
Yeah. The ones in the middle sucked. They were horrible.
That's usually the case.
It was on this day in 1994. That was, what, 23 years ago?
Yeah.
Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
Today's the day they found them?
Yep. This is the day that they were murdered 23 years ago.
Wow.
That's been, and he's still out there. No, he's in jail now.
He's in jail. They got him.
He's still searching for the killer in jail. Well, you know what? I was trying to get the audio to, hang on a second. Here we go. Let's see if I can.
We can play. Yeah. Just tell me if you're going to play it. And then,
well,
yeah.
I'm telling you now. Let's say.
Okay, then play it.
This gate is closed. As long as this scar of a wall is permitted to stand, it is not the German question alone that remains open, but the question of freedom for all mankind. In the 1950s, Khrushchev predicted, "We will bury you." But in the West today, we see a free world that has achieved a level of prosperity and well-being unprecedented in all human history. In the communist world, we see failure. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate.
Still does.
The big quote is coming up.
Mr. Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ta-da. That was 30 years ago today.
Wow.
30 years ago. Neither one of you were there.
Nope.
Neither one of you were
there. I was 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I remember back then it was the, everyone said that Reagan was playing the part of a great president. You know, he sleeps during meetings. They were dissing him just as much as they diss Trump
now
these days.
You think in 30 years, they'll be like, Trump was a great president.
All right. Am I going to go out on a limb and say this? Because I did, when I told Stu a year ago that I think Trump, I think something's going to happen. I think, you know, he's never going to, you know, and then of course here we are today.
Oh, you mean you called it that he was going to win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stu thought I was crazy. I don't know why I thought it, and I didn't vote for Trump. I still think he has the potential to be one of the best presidents in history.
So next week we're having a guest that is actually going to talk about that. He cannot come because he's also on vacation this week.
Everybody's on vacation.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Where's his vacation?
Last week was the week for vacation.
Does anybody work?
No. So he's going to join us next week because he actually believes that. He says there is, every president gets tested. And I've heard Glenn say this.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people around here say this. Every president gets tested. George Bush, 9/11.
Right.
Obama.
What was he tested with?
Okay.
Yeah. Almost every president gets tested.
Pass.
With something. Right.
And he says there's something coming where Trump either will make them or will break them.
Right.
And spoiler, I do not know because he will not tell me what it is.
He knows what it is?
He thinks he knows what it is.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to
tell
us
next week?
He's going to tell next week and about what he thinks is going to be the big break. Because if you think about it, and Glenn's talking about this, it's like the economy's on the fritz.
Yep.
Terrorism is like wildfire right now. And over the weekend, 19 Yazidi girls were burned because they would not have sex with a terrorist.
I did such a good job last week at disconnecting and unplugging from news because I just didn't want to.
Well, there's
know.
No internet in Mexico, so of
well,
course you
could. Actually, it wasn't bad. It was, and you can get things on Netflix in Mexico you can't get here.
Really?
Yeah.
So how many shows did you see? Any new shows?
Actually, I got into Twin Peaks.
Was any of that viewable for underage eyes?
No.
Well, define viewable. But I tried so hard to stay unplugged and coming back and having to dive back into it.
It's like
that story is just.
Yeah. So one of the Israeli correspondents texted me because I saw her reporting on it. And I was like, hey, I haven't seen any much coverage about the 19 Yazidi girls that got burned alive
right.
because they wouldn't have sex with the terrorists. And she texted, actually, an hour ago, she texted, I can try and find out more information if you want, and I'll come on the show and talk about it. So she's going to try and join us because ISIS burned 19 Yazidi girls because they would not
And they released sleep. A video of it, right?
And they released a video. And I've been looking for that video since last
why
night.
Why would you want to see
well,
that?
Because you want to be...
Yeah.
You,
I know you want to. It's weird. You don't want to be numb to it. You don't want to be so jaded that you're like, but I guess just.
But it is so strange when you watch them because I've watched the beheading videos. I've watched all, and it is your brain does not allow it. It there's a switch in your brain. That goes, it can't be real, even though it's real.
So when I was looking for that, I found other videos just as propaganda where they had a 3-year-old shoot a prisoner on the head. And I was like, no, there's no way this 3-year-old can do it. Holy crap, this 3-year-old did it. Then they had a 10-year-old cut somebody's head off. And when you said that mine would not let you do it, all I could say is, that's fake.
Yeah.
No, that's fake. That's not real blood.
Yeah,
it that's is not amazing. A real head. Because you're like, no, the body will not do that.
Right.
No, there's no way. It's a minute. No, it's like 2 minutes and 40 seconds of just little kids performing horrendous acts. And I'm like,
well, I'll say this, and I know it sounds weird, but they are amazing at putting these videos together. Yeah.
I'm telling you this: you take an ISIS producer, take him to Hollywood, he'll make a great movie.
Yeah, it is very, very strange.
I'll show you after the show.
Yeah.
You can see it.
No,
it's the production values.
I don't need to see it.
He's Cal's already back in bed. thank you for coming in. And I wanted to, there's a glimmer of hope because we met a guy, his name is Yin, met him he was on the tour of Tulum, and he's from South Korea. So we ended up having dinner with him, and he started talking about President Trump. And he said, I think Trump is a very smart man. He said, because I asked the guy, you know, aren't you worried, obviously, about going home? He was going home the next day. I think this was Wednesday we met him. He was going home on Thursday to South Korea, which how do you do that? How do you go home knowing what you're going home to?
I mean, but I guess when you're next to it for so long, you become like, oh, all right, you know, another threat, another nuclear missile test, another this crazy bastard did something. I guess they become so used to it.
That's just it. You become numb to the whole thing, which it's kind of like the videos. But this guy, he said, I'm hoping for a smart, I think that was the word he used, a smart resolution to the problem. I mean, they all know that Kim Jong-un is wackadoo.
Yeah.
But he held out hope. He says, I hope that they have a way that they can make a smart, smart resolution to this problem. But I don't know how that happens without just going in there and just taking the guy out.
Yeah, send in SEAL Team 6. That's the smart resolution.
Which technically we're not supposed to do.
Right.
You know, but we do it all the time.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
All the time.
When on the hush-hush.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you even give a guy like that to make him?
I don't know.
What do they? I don't even know what they want. What do they want?
That's just it.
He has it all.
Yeah. He likes to hear his own voice rattle inside his head. Yeah. That's all. That's all it is. And speaking of war, it was on this day, going back to the big days in history. It was in 1940 that Ford accepted a contract basically to manufacture Rolls-Royce engines for British and U.S. airplanes, which, again, going back to that time period, we were able to convert the country into a war machine. What would we do now?
Who knows?
I mean, what do we make anymore that you could stop the presses at the factory and start making tanks or whatever? We don't make anything.
Selfies?
We make
selfies?
I guess we could make that.
Kim Kardashians? Can we send them to war?
Yes. Can we just send them? Not to war. Can you just send them?
Yeah, just send them over. Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, keep the tweets coming in. Tweet us, use the daily hashtag What I Learned Today at The Blaze Brad, at Cal79, at Real Chris Cruz. See if a single person on the plane carrying apocalypse plague spider. Soaping Doug just said, if a single person on plane was carrying an apocalyptic plague spread by touch, Carter just ended the human race. you couldn't see it, but Jimmy Carter's on a plane, former president, shaking everybody's hand on the plane.
Oh, God.
You know, I've got a guy, a friend of mine, that's his hero.
Really?
I don't care if it's Carter, but I want to get off the plane. Could you please hurry it up?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. Let's go.
Well, come on. It's an ex-president.
So what? Okay, I shook Jimmy Carter's hand. How's my day going to change?
Damn,
how's my life
going to
get better in any way, shape, or form? Or any president, for that matter. Give me your favorite president.
Yeah, who's your favorite president?
In the United States?
Yeah. Yes. This is where we are. We're not in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I was going to say Luis Muñoz Marín. So.
I love that guy.
I did too.
Those suits his solo album?
Yes.
My favorite.
I know. It was like Pavarotti of Puerto Rico.
We are the 51st state, so
not yet,
back off. Back off. We voted.
If you can get 23%
of this population. Yeah. You know, we voted for that statehood, damn it.
Yeah. Kieran Alayson tweeted, don't touch the Coati. It's good advice. Or for Jeffy MRA, it's just a euphemism. That is the truth. Let's get a break in here. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
With Doc Thompson.
Yeah, Doc is taking much needed time off to go to the psychiatrist.
Oh, I don't blow his make his head any.
Well, you know, he had to go to the doctor for that thing.
Much needed.
Right.
It's not much
needed. The sciatic?
Yeah. No. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh,
there's a relief factor.
Oh.
Yeah. It cured his sciatic pains.
It did cure his sciatic pains. Relief factor, I'm telling you, the stuff works. If you are suffering from any kind of pain, and my lower back. Because
your
I caught
whole,
the old.
Your whole, you know, pretty you've much, got some mileage.
Yeah, and, I'm what would be considered a well-used vehicle.
If there's anybody here that's older than Doc, I think it might be you.
Yeah, that's me.
You cut pretty close.
Technically, Glenn's a little older than me.
He looks like a lot better, though.
By like a month. well, you haven't seen him naked.
Wow.
Whoa,
the butt kissing you're doing right now, Cal. Yeah, right. Fascinating.
You've already got the job, Cal. You don't have to worry about that. Got to
keep those paychecks rolling in, you know?
If you need to find relief from your pain, and the one thing that everybody, whenever we have people come in to do testimonials for Relief Factor, to record them for TV, they always say, I heard you talk about it, and I waited.
Don't wait.
And I waited for like a month. And then I ordered it, and it worked. So basically, you sat around in pain for a month longer than you needed to.
And that's why I don't understand. Why are you sitting in pain while you could relieve the pain right now?
Exactly.
Well, 7 to 10 days, but.
Exactly. Yeah, that's usually about how long it takes. 7 to 10 days, most people. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. Get a 3-week quick start pack for just $20. That is relieffactor.com. I'm going to play this now, he says. Hold on a second.
Oh.
We lost him.
We did.
On Friday. And you know what? Doc is always saying, you know, if you can't fix it, feature it.
Yes.
That's what Adam West did. He realized he was always going to be... And he went with it. He said I was reading an article, an interview with him several years ago, and he thought, you know, I'm never going to be able to shake this. I got typecast, but it's a good thing. He actually took the blessing.
Right.
And he did, and he played an amazing role in Family Guy as well as the Mayor Adam West.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he played that character so well.
Uh huh.
Yeah. He was himself.
He was. It was so sad because my son is like, Batman died because he was here when the news broke over the weekend. And I was like, yes. He said, wait a minute. Real Earth had Batman? I'm like, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, we did.
Yes.
And his name was Adam West.
Adam West. And he said, we were making morality plays for kids that adults watched.
Right.
And he played it arrow straight. And it was just, he got to choose Burt Ward. He got to choose who played
Robin.
Okay. Robin. And Burt Ward had no acting experience, but he did know karate. So he did. So he could make the scenes look good. I mean, you know, whether or
it
not
was funny because it. I bought the movie Batman from 1966, uh-huh. and my son was like, "This is not Batman." I'm like, "Son, this is Batman."
Yeah, this is the
and I went to Amazon and bought me the whole series of Batman just because it was so much simpler times. And if you watch the movie now, you're like, wow, simplest times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was laugh. Wow. I mean, it's cheesy, but I laugh at the jokes. Laugh out loud, actually.
Quack.
Bang.
Yeah.
Boom.
I mean, and there was always a good message. Always a good message.
Good guys win?
Yeah, most of the time. It used to be. Here's hashtag what I learned today. Morning Blaze continues next.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
It's Brad Steggs in for Doc this morning, along with at Cal 79 and at Real Chris Cruz at the Blaze. Brad, if you want to tweet us, what I learned today, use that daily hashtag. San Antonio squirrels love to show you they're nuts. Sleeve did it. Tweeted that one out. If only Massachusetts pig had help from a smart web spinning spider.
Oh, spider pig.
Yep. Spider that's, of course, the
spider pig.
That pot belly
Charlotte's
pig.
Web.
How does a pot belly? I mean, that's just like the pot calling the kettle black.
Okay.
Saying a pig is too fat.
Yeah.
That's just strange. Biff, pow, bam, RIP. That's a nice one.
We'll miss you, Mr. West.
Uh huh. Let him have his time. And don't mention snakes or that effing dog or cops giving out ice cream cones for driving. Or that's Jeff in Exile tweeted. As well. So keep them coming in. We have a guest. I saw this story before I left on vacation and I thought it was fascinating.
Yes.
Richard Osijo is the author of a book called Masters of Craft, Old Jobs in the New Urban Economy. And Richard, welcome to the Morning Blaze.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And let me just tell you this: from my last name is Staggs. So when I was a kid, I got all kinds of. The things you can do with Staggs is amazing. So when I saw your name, it looks like it would be pronounced Osejo. And I said, "No, wait a minute! I bet you." So say your name for me. Your last name.
Osijo.
Yeah. Osijo. I was making a joke to the guy.
Like, probably Osijo.
It's probably Osijo because it looks like it's. And I'll be doggone. See, sometimes you just hit.
That's
the,
right.
You hit the. What did, how did
the
Chris
nail
say
on the head?
No, he said you hit the nail.
He said,
I did hit the nail this time. And this is a fascinating trend that's happening. So these, not millennials, but I guess the generation before that, they're opting not for the for the tech jobs, but they're going into things like butchering and barbershops. And what's going on with
brewing beer?
Yeah, I mean, all these old jobs that
I guess you call them blue collars. Is this what you would call blue collars?
Yeah, but they've raised them up.
Twist.
What's going on with that, Richard?
Yeah, you're right. They are these blue collar, traditionally low status, manual labor, service jobs, and it's young Gen Xers, and it is also millennials who are who are starting to do it, this generation. And, you know, really what appeals to them about it is the nature of the work itself when compared to some of the more popular paths to take for jobs today, such as the tech jobs, IT, any kind of knowledge work or something like that. You know, these jobs are, you know, all digital. They're ephemeral. They don't necessarily have a human connection or a human touch to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the same time, I think a lot of the young generation of workers, they get this message that work shouldn't just be something that you do to earn money, and that you do your real passion on the weekends or at nights or something. Work should be something that's fulfilling and meaningful and should light you up, right? It should be something that drives you. And they find it in these more tangible, material-based jobs where they're doing a craft and they're using their skills and they have their knowledge and they're interacting with the public and they're making people happy and so on.
Well, and that goes back to the advice that we all got, or I did anyway, as a kid, and I'm old. It was always don't chase the money, do what you love, and the money will come.
Money will follow, yeah.
And right. I think somewhere right. along the line, we got away from that. Maybe this is going back to it, and people using their hands again.
That's right, yeah. They really ran toward that. That was a universal element, is that, you know what, I love this. I love serving people, or I love meat, right? Or I love sustainable food systems or something like that, which eventually leads them into something like butchery or distilling or something. And it's these are not obviously just run-of-the-mill versions of these jobs. It's not the corner barber, or it's the supermarket meat counter, right, or the neighborhood bar or anything like that. They're much more highly specialized versions of these jobs. They're this special niche that they really use these more technical skills, these older skills, artisanal skills, if you will, and a lot of philosophies behind why what they're doing is the best way to do it. So the way you've been having a martini is wrong, right? It should be measured out correctly. It mm-hmm. should be stirred a certain number of times. The temperature should be a certain way. The mouthfeel should be a certain way. And this is all these ideas behind what makes consuming good. And that's what they're trying to really. So it's not just here's your drink, what happened yesterday in the game. It's let's talk a little bit more about this drink and why I did this instead of that, why I use this ingredient instead of that, and why you're tasting what you're tasting.
Which to me sounds like that's going to be an excuse for things going up in price.
Well, that's going to be my follow up. Do you think it comes down to like people nowadays don't mind paying a bit of extra for quality? So you find like a carpenter who really makes things, you know, by hand, mm-hmm. wood, not, you know, not like some pressed thing from IKEA, or right. like a person
Although
who makes
IKEA's
like
fantastic.
IKEA is fantastic, okay. or some like artisanal cheese, you know, that good quality cheese, or beer, a guy who brews really good quality beer. Like, is it because is there a bit of a more demand for quality things, and these people really focus on the craft?
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think the consumer base is attuned to this. They want quality. They want craftsmanship. They want, you know, this word authenticity. They want something authentic, something real. They want to know a story behind what it is they're doing. They want to meet the maker. They want to know who's making it and what their work process is like, what their thinking process is like. And it's not just, obviously, I think there's always been an elite tier of items and products and services. Has always been something that is considered to be of a high quality. I think what makes these folks really unique is they're doing it for very basic and mundane things. So it's not going out and obviously, oh, you get, obviously you're going to get the expensive scotch or cognac after your meal at the fine dining experience on a Saturday night. This is a Tuesday night going to get a rye based cocktail, something as, you know, lowbrow as rye whiskey or bourbon or something like that. So they're kind of doing it to really common things, you know, meat on a Monday night, or just a basic haircut, a regular haircut that you get, have been really enhanced and really been, they really infused them with a new sense of quality and what is good.
When again, going back to the days when rocks were soft, we were always encouraged to do something, to make something, to get that feeling of accomplishment when we, you know, built a chair or whatever it was, a box. I mean, I took wood shop when I was in junior high, and you had this feeling of accomplishment when you did something like that. And I think that the generation that followed they were so into the video games and the tech stuff that you never they never had that ability to make something with their hand. I mean, I tried with kids to teach, and they just never seemed to have that interest. Is this a societal turn? Is that what's happening?
Well, that's a real big part of it. I don't know how much of a societal turn it is, to be honest. I think these folks are a little bit unique, but they do have this sense of basic craftsmanship, which is just the ability or the desire to do something well for its own sake. But at the same time, they also have the desire to please people, and they want that instant gratification from their labor, right, from their work. So I make a drink and I give it to you and you taste it and you tell me, that was the best drink I've ever had in my life. You've just validated my entire reason for wanting to become a bartender. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not getting that at the regular bar or anything. You know, if I give you a pint of, whatever, Budweiser, no one's like, damn it, this is the best Bud I've ever had in my life. Thank you so much.
Right.
It doesn't really work that way. It's a good drink, but whatever, let's move on.
Is this, is this possibly any way, maybe a backlash to the, all of these kids were going to college and, ending up with hundreds of tens of thousands of dollars in student loans and nothing to show for it. Is this a backlash to that? Is this a maybe something that almost happened by accident? They went, I'm just going to get a job and see what happens.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a handful of people I spoke to expressed this a little bit, was that they got out of college and they just got any old job because they had debt. And they weren't necessarily earning a lot, but it was what you can call somewhat of a stable job. It was an office job. They had benefits, but it wasn't a job they really liked or anything. And they were barely, driving down their debt. And they drifted along into their more, their pursuits and their interests. And they realized, hey, I can more or less pay down the debt the same rate that I am with this office job that I hate, but I could be doing something that I love. So they really kind of transitioned really out of it. I didn't ask, how much debt they had or anything like that. But I think it was, if I'm going to be doing this anyway, I might as well be doing it toward something that I'm really passionate about.
Now these niches don't really pay amazingly, right? It's not like they're making six figures doing these things.
No, I'd probably say not. No.
Some of the
top owners would be, if you own a shop or if you own a bar, then you probably are at some point. But anyway, no, the run of the mill, no.
So it's not for the money that they're doing it, basically. It's for the passion.
It's primarily,
doing something worthwhile, seeing what they've created, doing something. I that actually gives me hope for the future. what got you interested in it? I mean, you have a degree in sociology, correct? I mean, you're a professor.
Right.
My sister has a master's in sociology. I always wonder, what the hell do you do with that degree? Never understood that.
You write a really interesting book like this.
No kidding. Yeah. The book is called Masters of Craft, Old Jobs in the New Urban Economy. It's available, I'm assuming, at Amazon. Do you have a website?
You can look it up on Princeton University Press. My publisher has it.
Okay. I mean, it's a fascinating trend, and you see this continuing for the foreseeable future?
I think so. I mean, I hear about a different job that has been transformed in this way pretty regularly, and it's expanding. The ones that I studied are still expanding. We're seeing them in more mainstream places these days than we did before. So, yeah, I see it as something that's still growing.
Did you have fun researching this? Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun researching it. It was the people are really they love what they do. So when you talk to someone who loves what they do, you really feel that. And it was just very informative, and it tasted good. So
lots of free samples
and a great haircut. That's absolutely true.
Are you on Twitter or anything? Where can people find you?
I am I'm old school. I am one of those
snail mail and smoke
where
signals.
Where should we send?
You can put in a letter in an envelope and address it.
Right. By the post. I have an array of pigeons.
You know what? That's coming back again too. Pigeon farmers. And that, well, the book is called. It's a fascinating topic. Richard Osijo is the author. Why Old-Timey Jobs Are Hot Again: Masters of Craft. Richard, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Morning Blaze.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Let's get a break in. More of The Morning Blaze coming up.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
It's Brad Staggs in for Doc this morning, along with Cal and Chris at the Blaze. Brad at Cal 79 at Real Chris Cruz, and we were actually.
You know what I just realized after that guest?
What?
If this radio thing doesn't work out, I can go be a butcher.
Yeah.
Well, isn't isn't radio an old job?
Radio is one of the first jobs, my friend.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So we're already doing
the low-paying job ever to come.
when I moved to Nashville, Tennessee in 90 somewhere, they were paying part timers $10 an hour.
That's not bad.
That is not bad.
But you know how much they're paying them now?
$10 an hour.
Yeah. Because there's a line out the door and down the block of people who will come in and do it for free.
Yep.
Because it's such a glamorous.
And
I remember the entertainment because I'm one of those weird ones that has a degree on entertainment. And
you have a degree in entertainment?
Yes.
When are you going to start entertaining us?
Yeah. I'm trying to do right now. Uh-huh. And one of the instructors told me, it's like, just know there's always somebody that will underbid you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could do it for 10, I could do it for 9.
Yeah.
Or I could do it for free.
Yeah, it's because people think it's such a glamorous business when it really is not. You need a certain disposition to be in this business because it's television and radio are businesses of opinion. Aside from legal audio and video limits, everything else is opinion.
Yep. Yes,
that's it. Everything. There's no right or wrong answer.
Don't take anything we say
right
seriously.
Except our legal advice, which is ironclad.
We do a lot of research there.
It's paper loads of research. It's like, look at this, paper.
Yeah, we got paper. You need paper. We got paper.
Yeah. There might not be words on the paper,
but we got paper. There's still paper.
This tweet here is probably from Dead Last TMB listener tweeted, so many old-time jobs are coming back that Brad will be a blacksmith and Cal will be a candlestick maker.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Oh.
Candles is a multi-million dollar industry. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's these things, you switch, there's a little button on the wall.
No, but not
you
those.
Hit that button and lights turn on.
Those candles in Glenn's office?
Yes.
Those things are like $800 a piece.
For a candle? It's wax.
Well, no, and here's the reason why. They were on Oprah's favorite things. I can't remember the name of them, but once Oprah put them on her favorite things, they went from like a $10 candle to like a $60.
That's why you go to those stupid, like, what is a Yankee candle company or whatever. Yes. And I go in there, I walk out with a headache because there's so many smells.
No, that is true.
Like $50 for a candle. Come on.
But there is something about a good candle. It'll burn evenly.
Oh,
it'll
yeah.
burn forever.
I found this amazing candle at Walmart over the weekend. It burns so perfectly. That one is done, there's no wax.
Right, yeah.
And it was like $3. I was like, I'm going back to Walmart and buy more of those candles. Because don't you hate when we have the candle and all you have is wax on the wall of the jar.
And it burns all the way down through the middle of it.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
When's the last time you used a candle?
Oh,
this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
I
always have candles.
Is this because of the smells, the scented ones?
Candles are great.
Yeah, the scented ones, yeah.
Oh, one of our stagehands when I worked at the Nashville Network, his name was Bear. That was his nickname. Big burly guy. He goes, you walk around, big old southern accent. Yeah, I'm queer for candles.
Big hairy guy. I love candles.
He would sit there and he would burn candles at the back of the set. It was just so fun. There was something about a good candle. It's like meditation.
Yes. How do they get the smell in the candle?
In the wax.
How do they do that?
Just like you do colognes and body oils. Don't you know about oils? Isn't oil come from like Egypt or
don't
something?
Don't you ever take like a body, like a bath with body oils and stuff like that?
Bath? Who's got time for a bath?
Bubbles?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, you sit around.
Yes.
Put candles on this. I mean, Tom was doing that this weekend.
Two and a half, maybe 3 minutes tops in the shower without getting yelled at about something, if I'm lucky.
Right.
Bath.
Well, that's because you used the wrong towel. You used her towels.
Yes. Because you got married.
Is there a candle for that?
I believe
there is. No, but
she'll win it in the divorce. It doesn't matter.
I brought it to him and to Doc during last week. I said, we need a candle in here. It's starting to stink up like a dude's.
Yeah, it does kind of smell.
Smells like man in here. The way it should smell.
No, we need a candle in here.
Fruity smells in here.
We need a candle.
What we need is a nice outdoor bathtub here. That's what we at the hotel. They had an outdoor bathtub. Oh, let me tell you what. I may be digging to watch you
clean yourself. That's what it is.
There's nothing like stewing in your own juices.
No, I think there is. A lot of things better than that. I don't know if I agree with you there.
And the best part, I think the hotel was at the Riviera Catalonia. I don't know what it was. But they had.
Were you in that part of Mexico they couldn't afford indoor plumbing? They just put you out in a trough and filled it with buckets of water.
The toilet was right next to it. It was a big hole in the ground. But they had these big outdoor tubs that probably two, three people could fit in. I don't know why you want three people in one.
Exactly.
Somebody has to operate the video camera. But then they also had the bigger ones. Then it just gets complicated. And you don't know what's going on. But they had these bigger, like almost swimming pools that had plexiglass sides.
You could see into it.
Which they were like the honeymoon suites. So it's like, whoa, that's what I bought. See? Okay. Whoa, I'm returning that one.
Footsie in the tub.
No. Outdoor bathtubs.
Use the hashtag what I learned today. We'll have more of them coming up. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
We are getting very, very serious on the program this morning. A climate villain tweeted out a picture of my bathtub. I will go ahead and, that might even be me in it. That's a little scary. We'll retweet that one. Deadpool says, nothing like stewing in hot Mexican water with you and three of your closest friends outdoors in the summer. Hashtag no.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
That's the other thing. When you're in a tub, you're literally stewing in your own, bacteria.
Yeah, just don't think about that.
You don't think about that. You're in boiling water of your own filth.
I don't think you're in boiling water.
Well,
it's
hot water, and it's your own filth just coming off of you.
Okay, if you're peeing in the bathtub.
Who's peeing in the bathtub?
Who doesn't pee in the bathtub? Oh, no, that's the shower.
That's the bad one.
Sorry. There's the, don't do it in the bathtub. That's just wrong. If you get in a lake or in the ocean, you're swimming in fish.
But that's like a giant, there's too much. I think the percentage of fish pee to water in an ocean or lake is much more minuscule. You're not really.
Right. But I mean, didn't Gandhi drink his own pee? I mean, technically.
A lot of people have been doing that, so that's nothing.
So what's the difference in doing that in cities?
I don't have a problem with it.
Go and drink your own pee. That doesn't make any sense to me. But.
You got Jordan tweeting out, Chris Cruz has the mood set at his house with candles 24/7, 365 days of the week.
See? I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with being good to yourself.
I'm confused here, because Shield Kofefe Mom tweeted out, so apparently I learned that Brad is the poster boy for Cialis. What did you say?
I don't know. I have no idea. But if they're willing to write me a check, I will be the poster boy. It's which, by the way, the things you can get in Mexican pharmacies...
Oh,
holy cannoli!
They don't believe there's no such thing as a the FDA down there.
Oh no, you walk in and
horse tranquilizer, yes,
is that why HR keeps coming back and forth?
Uh huh, because they asked me to bring them some.
Oh,
and Jeffy just said, look, $50, $100, whatever you got to spend. Just bring, bring it all back. Right, fine. I will.
We'll triple it when we get here.
Numo Uno, hashtag what I learned today. It's candle and bathtub talk on TMB. Doc Thompson, please hurry back.
Yeah, I agree. Doc is right now stewing in a bathtub.
He probably is.
Bro, no, he's not. I don't think so.
Oh, I bet he
Doc's
is.
Doc's a bathtub guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. Oh, he is.
I'll bet he's doing it. Police in Eureka, California arrested a suspect who allegedly shot a man with a shotgun shell. Officers in Northern California city of Eureka responded to reports of shots fired.
He shot him. That's pretty violent.
It's bad. Yeah, it's yeah. not good. Gunshot wound.
Just shot him.
One
for
person a gunshot wound. About 3:25 Wednesday afternoon.
Must have been pretty nasty. I mean, you shoot someone with a shotgun, it's gonna like open you up.
Non-life threatening injury to the.
Non-lethal.
Non-lethal.
Okay.
No, he's not dead. No, the guy had the shotgun shell packed with breakfast cereal.
Oh.
What kind?
Rice Krispies, to be specific. What?
Puts a whole new term to Rice Crackle and Pop.
What? Why would you?
Snap Crackle Pop.
Glass used a flare gun. An investigation later determined that Glass used a flare gun to fire the shell, which had been stuffed with Rice Krispies.
Was it just to like scare someone?
You know, because when you run out of Corn Pops and Fruity Loops, you stuff them with Rice Krispies.
Right.
Because no kid is out there eating Rice Krispies.
I know. Why do they still make Rice Krispies?
I never understood the fascination over Rice Krispies.
Or Cheerios.
Yeah.
Cheerios. Like don't sawdust. Get Cheerios either. Yeah, you might as well chew on cardboard. The guy was booked in Humboldt County Correctional Facility for resisting arrest and probation violation. What's again?
I was going to say, what are they booking for?
That's a probation violation?
Using a flare gun?
To shoot somebody with Rice Krispies? What's the difference between doing that and throwing them at him?
That's a good point.
The projectile?
No, he got arrested for resisting arrest.
Uh-huh.
And well, what's the violation?
And probation yeah, violation? And
probation violation, apparently.
I guess just getting like, you know.
A projectile gun?
No, if the cops show up and. If you're causing a ruckus and you're on probation, you're going to get arrested.
Technically, yeah. Shots fired. I mean, I think that there's a good attorney could get you off on that one. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I would think. I mean, look, I shot him with Rice Krispies. I mean, that can't even possibly be lethal.
I mean, I can't imagine it being lethal. When it hit him, did it explode and snap, crackle, pop?
If that was the worst thing that happened to him all day, he had a pretty good day.
If I was in marketing for Rice Krispies today, I'll be like, how can we use this to up our sales?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that would be, yep, absolutely. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
It's for self-defense.
It's for self-defense.
Let's call Smith & Wesson and partner up with some Rice Krispies non-lethals.
I mean, that makes total sense. It's a breakfast food. It's a self-defense mechanism. It's Rice Krispies.
Can we do a experiment with your guns and stuff them with Rice Krispie treats?
You'll have to pull the Fruit Loops out of them first. But yeah.
You put yours for Fruit Loops?
Yeah.
What about you? What is in your guns? What are your
guns? I gotta get a gun first. I don't own any guns.
Whoa.
Which is on my list of things.
Okay,
to
hold on.
Being that I've got
your address is 555.
We know we'll be robbing whose house?
Kyle Street.
Yeah, 555.
And what is it? So I leave town. I go to Mexico, and that day, last week, they go to Cancun to discuss banning laptops and tablets.
I sent you that story because
it's an extension of the current ban.
The current ban, yeah.
But there's not a ban.
It's not really a ban.
If you're flying from certain countries in the Middle East to the U.S., you can't bring laptops on.
Yes. Okay, well, I don't know why you can bring them on, you just can't.
Coming back, you can't.
So you can't bring it on at all? You can't put it in your check bag?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Because that's the part that makes no sense to me. I think the ban that they were discussing, which I don't think made it, was going to, you would have to put the laptop in your check bag as opposed to putting it in your carry-on. What sense does that make?
None.
Have they ever heard of a remote control? I mean,
no.
If you're going to make
there's
a
no such thing as
a timer.
Yeah,
well, that too.
Yeah.
But you couldn't really time it because the TSA is really like takes forever.
That's true. That's true.
So they were like, we don't want to overshot it, guys.
I mean, plus, they x-ray the checked bags, too, now.
Yeah. I mean, everything goes through. Or you have the dogs walking around, which years ago, I had a dog in Chicago sit down next to me. It was when we came back from
Switzerland. Oh, really? Did you have doggy biscuits in your bag?
Came up. And if it's never happened to you, it's the weirdest thing, because they walk the dog around on a leash, and then the dog comes over and just sits down next to you and goes, what? The nice dog.
You know, I'm going to give you a little secret. You know what the dog is waiting for?
A treat.
A treat.
Ball took pop up Because what happens is we train them. We never show them where the ball is coming from. So they're always in the hunt for this ball that smells like explosive, drugs, or contraband.
Right.
And it's real amazing. They sit there and then just waiting, and you can see their eyes. You won't see their head move. You see their eyes just moving. Like,
looking around.
Where is the ball? Because I know it's about to come out real soon, and oh my God, it's coming.
So that's the reward if they find something?
The reward is the ball. Yeah, it's not a treat because then a person like him can have food and just give him a treat. Right. They're waiting for a toy, and it's usually a ball, a Kong, and it's real funny. When we train them, because I was part of the training program, is they're there looking, and they're like, oh my God, I know it's coming. And you can see them when they're getting antsy. I'm like, it's freaking coming. And as soon as, and that's when you pop it, you go, and they're like, oh my God, it's here.
Wait, are you telling you got to train some of these
dogs?
Yes. I wonder. This is explaining a lot.
Because I could get high pitch.
Right.
Yeah.
High pitch.
We've noticed that.
Yes.
So
it rewards them.
Well, it freaks you out when they sit down next to your bag. And then the woman came up to me and said, well, do you have any citrus fruit? No.
Citrus fruit?
Cocaine. No citrus. I said, no, I had that time I had a fanny pack because we had been skiing and I'd had an orange in it like the day before. So the dog was still smelling the orange from the day before. These dogs have amazing noses.
Oh, yeah. But they're trained to search for oranges? Citrus?
Well, some dogs are fruit and drugs, or livestock. If you're smuggling
you're
a donkey back
bring
in,
bring food
whatever.
In. Right. Smuggle a donkey.
Or drugs. But so they've got all these ways to obviously to sniff out explosives, but I just don't understand why you'll be able to put the thing in your check bag and stick it in the belly of the plane where if you have it rigged with explosives. And when did this whole thing on, remember with laptops, it was you have to take your laptop out. Why?
Well, if you have pre-check, you don't have to take it out.
What you get? Because it's like, you don't have to. You don't have to take your shoes off if you're under 12.
Because the X-ray machine.
3-year-olds never shoot anybody.
Oh no! Exactly. We just found that out. Yes.
So
the X-ray machine can look through your bag, but it can't look through your laptop.
Well, then here's the thing too: is if you are accompanied with a minor, you don't go through the body scanner; you go to the metal detector.
Because they can see you.
Yeah.
And okay, and we were looking at pictures earlier this morning when we weren't on
you
the air.
You make sure you're not on the network,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I'm on the dark web.
Oh, okay,
and using an incognito browser. But we were looking at pictures. Yes,
fake Brad Staggs.
Exactly, not the real me. Not the real me. I had no idea that pictures of.
What we saw online is real. It's basically like it's literally
it's a picture.
You
it's
naked.
A naked.
Yeah,
is
you
picture
naked
of
yet?
You. Apparently what it does is it does a reverse image, and all you have to do is do the, it's kind of like a negative versus a positive, obviously. And then, so they can see you pretty much, you're bare naked.
You're wearing your birthday suit.
Yeah.
They see the twig and berries.
But this is the people in like the back
in the
room.
The back room, yes.
The ones sitting out there next
to the
machine.
You just see the silhouette.
Just have, and like a blurred
the cartoon.
Image. Right.
The cartoon.
All right. And this was all, again, going back to when they started installing these things at the airports, it was Michael Chertoff, who was the director of the Homeland Security.
What did he do?
When he left that position, he invested in body scanners.
What kind of body scanners?
Yeah, the kind that they use at airports and then make sure that they're all there.
Oh, come on. It's just a coincidence.
No.
Figure. But I get them every time. And I'll tell you, I have a secret weapon that I go to the airport. Every time I go to the airport, I get them with the secret weapon every time.
I have it too, and kind of
want to know what it is.
We've all got that.
Cargo shorts. They cannot see through cargo shorts.
No,
every time I wear cargo shorts, sir, we're gonna have to check your pockets. Okay, they're right there. I mean, they can cargo shorts gets them.
You're telling me the weakest. Mm-hmm.
The X-ray can read right down to your twig and berries,
but your cargo shorts.
Does it have to be a specific brand?
Old Navy cargo shorts?
Walmart. Pretty much any old cargo shorts with pockets.
Are they Batman cargo shorts that like have special lining, bulletproof?
Unbelievable every time. And then, and it's also why I never wear a belt to the airport because then you have to take the stupid thing off.
Oh yeah.
And the last time I went through, I had on these shorts which have a metal button. And so the guy decides he wants to stick his hand down inside my waistband.
Because he had a button
because
or because
I had a metal
he,
I don't know. Maybe I was cute.
Well, you are
cute.
You
know,
you are cute.
He did kind of look like my type.
Oh, he was your type?
If I had a type. He would have been.
Do you have a type? Yes.
It would have been. Well, yeah, we all have a type.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm telling you that I had no idea. Next time, before you go to the airport next time, if you're going on a trip, look online. Just look up body scanner images and just see what they can
and
see.
And then go to blazebrad.com to get your cargo pants.
Exactly.
X-ray free?
Yep. If you want to defeat them, use cargo shorts.
That's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What are you guys looking at?
I can't pull it up. You lost it. Oh, yeah. Man.
Our next sponsor, yeah. Brick House.
You know how we've been saying how you guys talking about baths, and I can't even get the time mm-hmm. to get a bath. I always got to jump in the shower because...
Your work is never done.
I work, no. Yeah. I gotta you know, make sure that I don't get the time to do it, you know, because right. I'm just so freaking run over by my wife and kids and stuff. So, because usually the shower is what rejuvenates me, but if I can't get into the shower, I always get to my dawn to dusk because this is the only stuff that gives me the energy to get throughout the day, and it's the only thing that keeps me awake because it's got an extended release energy supplement which lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain, but it doesn't give you the jitters. It's nice and smooth. It doesn't make you shaky at all. So when my crash comes in the middle of the day, usually I have to take a nap. If as long as I take the dawn to dusk from Brickhouse Nutrition, it keeps me awake the whole day, and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And
can you guys hook a brother
I
up
usually, oh, we will. You were on vacation, but we got you a 30-day pack for you. And usually I take around 6 or 7 because the crash comes, and it's 10 hours for a full release, and it's slowly. I just love it. And if you like to pop some pills, like I love taking pills. It's just...
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you work with one another, that's what you have to do.
If you visit brickhousedoc.com and at checkout, use the promo code DLC, you get 15% off.
I know, that's another little bonus. Get a little bit of extra cash off. Company again is Brickhouse Nutrition. Product is Dawn to Dusk. Go to brickhousedoc.com. Brickhousedoc.com is a promo code DOC, D-O-C.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
It's time to find out what, if anything, we learned today. I learned if you're going to take a bath at Chris's house, bring a candle and a bathtub.
Yes, please. Yes,
exactly.
Please. Yes.
At the Blaze, Keith, what did you learn today?
I learned that somehow I left the wrong impression to Morning Blaze listeners that gold and missing Powerball money is somehow inside my bald head.
Yes. I've got the hatchet.
Crack it open.
We'll crack it open. Bald head open soon. Cal, what did you learn?
I learned aliens, dude. Aliens.
I'm telling you, they helped build the pyramids.
Aliens.
How else would we know how to use wireless electricity?
Yeah, you got it. You figured it all out.
Kirk, did you learn anything today?
How dare y'all badmouth Cheerios and Rice Krispies? That's just... I love those. Those are like my favorite cereals. Hey,
I think that anything that can be used as ammunition is a good thing.
Yes it absolutely. Is.
And mm-hmm. Chris Cruz, what did you learn today?
I didn't learn anything, but I got some listeners learning something.
Like? Yeah.
You got Jordan Rice listen, tweeting out, I think I accidentally turned on the Spanish option. How do I turn this off?
Mas musica. Mas musica. That's what we need. If you're going to smoke a cigar at Mercury Studios, know where to turn off the smoke alarms.
Yes, absolutely.
Or know me. One
know
of
Red.
The two, yeah.
Coming up on the Glenn Beck program, Glenn is back from vacation with a wide variety of compelling, hard-hitting topics affecting conservatives and Americans anywhere.
He's still in vacation mode.
Yeah. He's wearing a big smile because he's back from vacation.
That's all that matters. We'll see you tomorrow morning in the Morning Blaze.
You're back?
I don't know.
The Morning Blaze. With Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.